Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Crumb's Revenge's lair. This is Crumb's Revenge, a.k.a. Mike Lindsay, sitting with
Mark Blankenbaker, a.k.a. Sheriff 50.
And we've got a great show for you today. We've got Louisville versus Miami in the Russell Athletic Bowl. We've got Louisville versus Kentucky in the Bluegrass Battle. We've got some program updates. It's The Crunch Zone, and it's coming at you right now.
Game of the week.
Mark, how you doing, bud?
I'm fantastic. I haven't finished Christmas shopping. You should know that.
I can assume that. That's just by the mere sheer number of cars I saw today at lunch when I was trying to catch
right.
up on my shopping.
But I think I've got it whittled down to just the liquor store run.
Yeah, there
we
go.
So that's usually the best part of going. And
always a good
Christmas.
Decision.
Exactly. So I'm really excited. And in fact, but you know, for me, Christmas is just kind of like in the way.
Yeah.
To December 28th.
You know, for those who celebrate Christmas, Mark just said that Jesus was in the way of his college athletics.
Right, and I love Jesus. I love Jesus, but we could celebrate it any day.
That's right. Notre Dame has touchdown Jesus. He likes sports.
I'm pretty sure scholars have discovered that Jesus was actually born sometime in mid-January.
I don't know.
It's not during bowl season, right?
I don't know. So, just remember, that's the first question they'll ask when you go to the pearly gates.
No.
What's more important? You
God will know that I know the accurate birthday for Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't even know. Who knows if that's the accurate birthday? I'm sure they didn't have Decembers back then.
Right.
I'm not sure.
You know, the Mayans can mess up their calendar. I can celebrate Jesus whenever I feel like it.
All right, well, I know you're excited because you're a big football guy, and we have an epic matchup, like a modern-day rubber match. We've had a lot of good bouts in the 2000s with Miami, and here we are marching down to Florida against Miami. What do you think about this matchup? Is it a good or bad matchup for the Cardinals?
It's a really good matchup, but it's a dangerous matchup if there can be both. Like, I am pumped about this game because, I mean, by all accounts, Louisville will open up the 2014 season with Miami. They're going to close the 2013 season with Miami. Matchup-wise, this offense that we're going to see from Miami is extremely talented, even without Duke Johnson, the second-team All-ACC running back. They lost him for the year with a broken ankle. He missed the final four games of the year. The ACC coaches still put him on second team. Mm-hmm. So that should tell you something about Duke. But they will get Philip Dorsett back, and that guy is a big-time receiver. He's not a high reception guy, but when he gets loose and he can go over the top and get behind safeties, and Stephen Morris can get him the ball.
Who's he matched up with from the Cardinals side?
So, you know, he's going to match
most
up.
Most likely. I know they'll probably
move him.
He's going
to match up on the outside if he's healthy. I mean, you know, they may just build him up that he's going to play and then not play, which could be possible. But he would match up with a Charles Gaines or Terrell Floyd. Our corners don't flip sides at the University of Louisville, so they'll stay on the side of the field that is most appropriate. So wherever the Miami lines him up with, he'll line up with Floyd, he'll line up with Gaines, he'll line up in the nickel against Reeve, and there will be some things that Miami will do with him. But this Miami team, their defense is actually not very good. So if Louisville can get stops, they win the game because Louisville's going to move the ball.
Okay. So. Now, how about on the injury front? What's Louisville looking like? Is there anyone they're getting back? I mean, Cameron Joyer's gone, right?
Cameron Joyer is a part of the team.
No, I thought he was. Sorry, who got hurt?
Nacho. Nacho's hurt, and he will not play in the bowl game.
Who got hurt in the last game? It looked like his knee got twisted up. I thought that was Joyer.
I guess
it wasn't serious. He didn't play the rest of that game,
right?
And I just assumed he was done for the season.
No, I don't think he's done for the season. It's possible that he is, but right now
it would be out there. Being dumb.
Yeah, the only guy that I'm aware of that's not going to play will be Nacho Garcia. That we really expect, you know, that could be possible back. So Louisville should go into this game relatively healthy. Now, there could be injuries this week down in Orlando that the practice is closed. We won't know about them. There'll be a press conference on Friday, and Charlie Strong is not really all that forthcoming with injuries. So we will have to find out Saturday day of the game. Yeah. 45 when minutes.
People are warming up.
during the warm-up between the Louisville basketball game.
So-and-so's got pads on. Exactly. So-and-so does not have pads on.
So I'm really hoping for a blowout in the basketball game so I can get into the Citrus Bowl early, start figuring out who's available, who's not available, things like that.
All right, just so you folks know, I will not be down there. Mark is going for the third straight bowl game under
Fourth.
This website.
Yeah, under the website.
Yeah, under the website. So he's going to have cameras down there. If we have a victory over Miami, we fully intend on celebrating the senior class and the great achievements that they have brought us over the last 2 years, which is 20 out of 23 wins in the last 2 years, and hopefully going to tack on another one. All right, now let's get back to the game. So when they've got the big receiver, looks like we've got our own problems for them on defense. You said they're not very good. Is it where do they cause any problems if they cause them on defense?
Well, okay, they're Denzel Perryman, their linebacker. He's an excellent linebacker. But the problem is that their defensive line just really isn't going to scare anybody. And that's a good news when you're Louisville's offensive line. Struggled recently, especially in the last 5 or 6 games, really getting protection and running the football. Louisville should be able to run the football. And they should be able to protect Teddy Bridgewater. Now, they are pretty strong with Perryman on defense, and they're pretty decent in the secondary, but the problem is they don't get enough pressure up front, so usually a quarterback has enough time to make a play.
Teddy with time is about the worst thing you can...
Exactly, and so Louisville should have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin, Miami should also have a lot of time. We saw this with Central Florida. Miami is in the same mold that Central Florida was in terms of you can't get to their quarterback. He's like impossible to get to.
Did UCF use an extra lineman though, or something?
They
didn't use an extra body.
Miami doesn't use that extra lineman.
They're just
obviously
that good.
They're very good, and they have more than just the one receiver that's coming back, Philip Dorsett. They have Alan Hearns, Stacey Colley, Clive Walford, and Herb Waters. And Herb Waters is really kind of like an Eli Rogers clone. He's a little bit bigger than Eli, but he's kind of like that guy that you can just go to in the clutch, and he just makes plays. He's amazing. And, Alan Hearns, he's another big play receiver. Stacey Colley, big play. And so one of the things that I'm breaking down all these games, just game by game for Miami, the thing about them.
Oh, and real quick.
Yeah.
Mark is breaking these games down, and he's going through some of the games on their schedules and like opponents and all this, and he is going to load you up with as much football you can eat this week, all week long on thecrunchzone.com. So make sure you check out the website, thecrunchzone.com. Mark is certainly known for his football, and this is his wheelhouse, and we have got, if you love football, you're going to love the website all week long. So go ahead. Right. You're talking about breaking them down.
But whenever you look at them, they're not a high completion percentage team, but they always get the big play. Before Duke Johnson went out, what they would do is they would run the ball 5, 6, 7 times in a row and then throw for like 70-yard touchdowns because they would make the defense commit to loading up players into the box, and then they would just go over their head.
And just chuck a Hail Mary straight out of Tecmo Bowl.
Now, with Duke Johnson obviously being injured, not available, they still have Dallas Crawford, who's kind of like, if I'm making a Louisville comparison, like a little bit of a bigger George Stripling. He's that type of guy, real fast. He's not all that good between the tackles, but if you get him outside into space, he can make you pay.
Are they going to make Stripling do that screen to the side like Petrina?
Exactly. I mean, I hope that we don't see anything of like that, but they really don't have like another great back behind there.
So he could get tired.
So he can get
tired.
So this
is a fourth quarter problem they could have.
And it's a fourth quarter problem. And when they lost Duke Johnson, they lost 3 games. They lost Florida State, they lost to Virginia Tech, and lost to Duke all consecutively. And those are their 3 losses. And then they came back and they beat Pitt and they beat Virginia and they closed out their season. And I think that this is still a team that's struggling to find their identity. And defensively, they're not good enough to stop this Louisville offense unless Louisville just cannot figure it out. And I think we saw last year in bowl prep for the Sugar Bowl, when Louisville got healthy and they got time, they put together some new wrinkles. They really broke down Florida's defense.
Yeah.
Made them pay.
Yeah.
So
coaches did a masterpiece last year in the Sugar Bowl. I was going to say, this game being that we're going to play them now and then at the start of next year, Who is more motivated? Because Louisville is disappointed they didn't go to a BCS, but probably happy that they're playing some kids from Florida. Miami is probably like, we're Miami, and they have this unfounded arrogance because of something that happened 20 years ago. Slash, probably excited that they're playing some kids from Miami. Who do you think is more motivated to play this game?
You know, I don't think that there's a more or less motivated team in this ball game. I think they're both really excited to play each other. From a program perspective, you got 23 players on Louisville's team that came from Miami. A lot of these guys are excited. You know, they know Teddy Bridgewater, obviously, in Miami. They know he was committed to go there, and a lot of these guys were excited to play with Teddy.
Yep.
He's now at Louisville. The players who are at Louisville that, you know, they grew up in Miami, they're excited to play Miami. And then just – it's a huge bowl game. They're 11-1. Miami's 9-3. It's a big name brand game, and it is in Florida. I don't think you're going to have any kind of letdown in terms of disinterested or not interested or anything like that, because Miami really does have a lot to prove. They were in the top 10, just like Louisville was during the season, and they got blown out by Florida State.
Except for they moved down with losses, while Louisville moved down with victories.
Right. But at the same time, though, they both – didn't do what they wanted to in their seasons. Yeah. And then they're going to look at this bowl game and say, this is a way to validate ourselves and also vault ourselves into the polls for early next year, and then create a rubber match, obviously, Labor Day weekend, which is going to be awesome at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Yeah. I can't wait for that.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're keeping track at home, Teddy Bridgewater, one of the items apparently on his checklist from unknown sources was the ability to play Miami next year in the ACC, that he always really wanted to do that. So you can check that off his list of maybe staying, because he's going to get him right now. You know, if Ted, you know, just to touch on that briefly, everyone's beat it to death. If Teddy doesn't go pro, then he's staying for reasons that kids just make, right?
You know,
I mean, money wise, he needs to go. Draft wise, he needs to go. He already has his degree. I mean, he doesn't even need to stay to get his degree. He's just one of those guys that comes around very rarely, and he's been a blessing to the program. And we just need to cheer him on and encourage him to make the best decision. But honestly, whatever that is to him, because a lot of people just assume money's the best decision. Maybe it is. You know, he might have some other things that we just don't know about personally, but we do know that getting Rose a new home is one of them, so that would be a money thing.
And a pink Escalade with pink rims.
Pink Escalade.
But, I mean, you think about the generational-type money that comes with being a first-round pick.
Yep.
It used to be about the first contract, the rookie contract with the NFL Players Association agreement. Now it's actually more about the second contract. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Teddy's still going to make a lot of money. And endorsement-wise, he's going to be the most endorsable player in the draft next year. Well, next year, Jameis Winston might be, and all these other guys that he's going to compete against. But
totally different draft quarterback-wise next year.
The real money in the NFL now is all about, like it is in the NBA, in the second contract. So if you leave college early, which Teddy Bridgewater is not leaving college early, he's ready.
Yeah.
If you leave early and you're not ready, you're putting yourself at risk to be cut and not being able to cash in on the second contract. So it's really in the player's best interest to stay and become as finished of a product as possible before entering the NFL, because you're going to make good money, and you're going to, especially if you're a first round draft choice, but you're going to make a ton of money when you get your second contract, like Elvis Dumervil did when he was a fourth-round selection, was the highest paid player in the league.
That's probably an unfair comparison, because I think he's got the highest contract of any lineman
in the history
of the NFL.
Well, he was a fourth-round selection.
But, yes, he survived to that second round, and look what can happen. Anyone can become the highest-paid lineman ever in the history of the world.
It can happen.
And it did happen to a Louisville Cardinal.
So,
well, Teddy will be motivated. You know, he's playing in Florida against Miami kids. You know, he'll have that team ready. And to be honest, if you watch the end of the Keg of Nails video where Mark was there filming all these guys and some of these interviews, you could see just how proud they were that they won the Keg of Nails and how happy they were. And we just kind of forget that they're kids. So these kids are hyped up to play Miami. They are hyped up to play this bowl game.
They're excited.
Fans are a little ungrateful at times about, oh, you should have done this or you should have done that. It's like, well, bullshit, you know, you're sitting on a chair doing nothing.
Right.
You know, we're the ones taking the concussions.
You've got to play the guy across the guy in front of him. You know, he's got to go and make the play. But I think in terms of, like, the players leaving and everything, like, I'm really going to miss our seniors.
Yeah.
I really think that Teddy's decision is tied to Damian Copeland's. I think that's probably going to be true, but it's not tied to Devontae Parker's. Damian is in a position where if Teddy comes back, he could really make good money if Teddy comes back and they play in the ACC together. Yeah. But if Will Gardner's your quarterback and you're in the ACC, what do you really do? Because I think Will's really good, but he's not Teddy. And he may in spring drills. Really
and even if he's
across,
better than Teddy one day, he can't be Teddy next year because there's a whole chemistry. There's a whole learning of the playbook. There's a whole getting grizzled experience.
Exactly.
Like Teddy, you know, Teddy's a freshman. Hell, his first throw was a pick. He got knocked down all the time. You know,
right.
And then by the end of the year, he started looking pretty good. But, well, that's what we're going to probably see with Will Gardner.
And the only other player that I can really think about that could leave early would be Calvin Pryor. And I've been kind of looking at the mock drafts and safety position's loaded, and I know Calvin has a daughter, and he's going to have to make the best decision for him. But I think next year would actually be more beneficial to him getting into a high round, whereas he's definitely going to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
But what is the best thing for him? Get in the NFL today,
right,
and get paid, or to wait a year, move up that board because there's not as many safeties that are going to be draftable next season, because the safety position is absolutely loaded. The quarterback position is thin after Teddy, mm-hmm, and Blake Bortles. It's really not. It's really shallow. But the safety position is deep. We're going to learn a lot immediately after
that bowl game.
The bowl game. We're going to learn a lot in the post game locker room and in the interviews. So stay tuned for that because it's going to be a busy 24-hour period after the bowl game. With all these program, different changes, player personnel things that are going to happen. So.
And we'll keep popping up on the website at thecrunchzone.com, so make sure you check it out.
Right.
You know, someone brought up a real interesting point. They said this year's top two quarterbacks listed right now are both from the AAC. There's one loss between them in 12-0 and 11-1 in 24 games. There's one loss between them. Not a single award, not a single mention, not a single anything, except for that they both might be hugely highly drafted in the NFL. It's
right.
What backward system is it that the NFL is giving you all the praise and college doesn't want to sniff it?
Well, it's kind of the good old boy network. And, yeah, there are two losses, actually, between the two teams. The UCF lost to South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Who's a top 10 team.
Yep.
And then Louisville loses to
Central
Florida.
They kind of gave that away to South Carolina.
Sure.
Louisville gave it away against Central Florida.
Exactly. I mean, both those
lost in the same
wins.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's just a good old boy network in college football. And, like, it's funny, you know, you see Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, and they trash them when it's award season. But as soon as the awards are handed out, oh, these guys are the best guys
way
ever.
Up the draft.
You know, we had these guys this whole time. Yeah. But it's after they talk to their NFL buddies, and they put away their blue blood bias for all these other programs who, for whatever reason, they have to stroke their egos in the media. And I don't understand that. I've never really understand that. Because tradition, all that stuff doesn't help anybody.
How many failed Heisman players have there been in the NFL? It's like,
well, there's been a lot.
The Heisman's like the Madden curse of college football.
There's been a lot, but, I mean, Cam Newton's – I mean, he's got a great team in the NFL. RG3 had a bad sophomore season. And I think RG3's sophomore season is a great example of why you need to make sure you're ready to go, because there's a ton of players who come in and have great rookie years. In their second year, they bounce. And guess what? A lot of these contracts are 3 years long when you're rookies. Not at quarterback, typically. You get 4 or 5 years. But some of them are three-year deals, especially for position, skill players, linemen, things like that. So if you bounce as a sophomore, in a second-year player in the NFL, well, guess what? Your third year, it's do or die. You're either cut or you're going to get paid. And what would you rather do? Would you rather get paid or get cut after 3 years?
I'd like to get paid.
Yeah,
that's just the way
too.
I roll. All right, folks, so that's it for football. We cannot wait for this big matchup against Miami. It's going to be Saturday, the December 28th, 7:30 p.m., and it's just going to be awesome. What channel is it on?
It's on ESPN.
ESPN.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's on the Deuce or if it's on the regular one.
Let's not Deuce anything. No, I think it should be straight on because I think it's the only bowl matchup that day.
I think so. Well, the Belk Bowl happens earlier.
Okay,
we follow
that evening. I think there's no competing bowl game during that. So let's get to basketball. Moving on.
Game of the week.
All right, the Bluegrass Battle in Lexington. Much anticipated matchup. Probably Calipari era rubber match, you could call it, since we've been back-to-back national titles between Kentucky and Louisville heading into Lexington. The Young Cats do play much better at home than they do on the road. I'd much rather play them neutral or on the road. They get scared if it's not the safe confines of their little blue belly rednecks cheering for them.
It's Russ Arena, though.
And it is Russ Arena. And so I've certainly got a bunch of opinions, but what are some takes that you have for the game?
You know, I think Louisville has a really strong advantage in the backcourt, to be honest. I think, you know, the way that Wayne Blackshear's played, and I hate to just – I feel really cautious just saying, oh, Wayne Blackshear's playing well, because every time it seems like we praise Wayne Blackshear, he disappears. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, Russ, Terry Rozier, Chris Jones – Wayne Blackshear, and then I just feel like Luke is just going to break out here anytime. I mean, it may not be against Kentucky.
This would be a great time.
But it would be a good time, because you win a game like this against Kentucky, if they can continue to win into their conference, it can help you get seeding later into March. And everybody wants to talk about the rivalry aspect of it, but if you lose a game on the road to your rival and late December, it's a non-conference game, it doesn't hurt you that much, but it can really help you if you need a good quality win when seeding comes around. And remember, there's only one domed region this year in the NCAA tournament, and that's in Indianapolis. And you don't want to go play in an arena and then go play in a dome in the Final Four in the largest dome in the world, AT&T Cowboys Stadium there in Dallas, Texas. Yeah. You want to play in the Lucas Oil Stadium and play in that huge dome with the big caverns and everything to get that adjustment so that you can make a run into a national championship, because teams who play in domes in the region that play in the Final Four, you know, that's huge. It's a huge advantage. So I think Louisville at the power forward and center position, I think they match up really well at power forward. I think at center, it's a mystery. And Julius Randle, obviously, he's probably the strongest player at that spot. I mean, there's no debating it.
I thought he was power forward.
Willie Cauley-Stein. They can kind of mix and match. I feel like last year.
Back to the basket, it is Julius Randle, regardless of position.
Sure. On offense, for
sure. And he's fast, and that's what concerns me, is because Montrezl Harrell, as much of a beast he is, he's still slow-footed. Like, he's really good at running on a break, and he's really good at helping on defense. But that on the ball, when Julius Randle backs him up and tries to do some spin moves, it is advantage Julius Randle, no matter how much we love Montrezl. Yes. And I'm worried about the calls against Montrezl in that situation of playing catch-up defense.
Absolutely. And, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, I mean, last year Shane had 20-8 on him, so I'm not really concerned about that particular matchup. But, like, I think Shane and Montrezl, if this game comes down to crunch time, we'll be on the floor together.
Yeah.
But I don't think Rick will do that until there's like 6-7 minutes left and there's no foul trouble. Because if he starts the game with Trez and Shane, like, you're at Rupp Arena. We see how they call rivalry games now. They're so tight. They don't let you do anything, especially after Xavier Cincinnati with the big brawl.
Yeah.
They just don't let you do anything. And so you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, get – two fouls, like Shane got, what was it, three fouls the last time we were at Rupp Arena.
And Shane's been playing really well, folks. So Shane, we track the per minute production of all the good stats minus all the bad stats divided by the time you play, and we do that weekly. And Shane has been charging strong towards Harrell ever since he kind of got past all his distractions. The last six of the last seven games, he's the only player on the team to score higher than a .75, which means he is almost averaging one positive net contribution minus turnovers, minus missed shots, and things like that per minute, which is kind of an insane pace. I think Shane's got he's a wide load downstairs. He's not that. He is strong upper body, but not as strong as Julius Randle. So it's going to be interesting to see how they use Randle against our forwards to try to encourage the foul trouble. Shane did really well, yes, last year at the front court, but I don't really count that, because last year we had mismatches at every position because Gorgie was in the middle. So Willie Cauley-Stein had to deal with Gorgie.
Right.
And now we've got a mismatch at the center position. As much as Mango Mathiang has improved, and he has, he's consistently contributing. He is number four most productive player on Louisville's team per minute played in the last seven games. But not against not against Kentucky, named not Julius against Randle, Willie Cauley-Stein, and against North Carolina. Yeah. If you go back and look at those stats, actually our front court numbers were really low, and our 1-2s and 3s were good. So that is telling me that is our, you know, with a weak schedule, our most like opponent to Kentucky will be North Carolina, and the fact that they have a lot of bigs, a couple of good scoring guards. I mean, that's a pretty good, fair matchup, you know, to call North Carolina and Kentucky close.
I think so.
And yeah. I think the 1-2s and 3s are going to have to produce for us to have a chance to win. And then if we can stay out of foul trouble with our bigs and keep rebounding, Kentucky will beat us on the boards. But if we can keep rebounding honest, then we can do some damage at Rupp.
Well, here's just a stat for you just to understand the impact of Julius Randle, okay? Now, both teams have played 12 games. Louisville and Kentucky both played 12 games. Louisville's highest free throw attempt man so far this season is Montrezl Harrell at 47 attempts, tied with Shane Bohannon, 47 okay. attempts.
And what are their free throw percentages, just to throw that out?
Okay, well,
we'll throw this in what I call the wasted
Shane
points
is 44.
Category.
44.7, and Montrez is 43.2.
43% okay? free throw shooting.
Now,
I could kick 43%.
Russ has 45. And last year, Russ set actually a school record for free throw attempts.
Yeah.
Compare that to Julius Randle, who in 12 games, Julius Randle has 112 God. Free throw attempts.
Almost combined of all three of those.
And guys. He shoots 73% from the foul line. Now, that's a guy who goes in, and not only does he foul out your bigs, but he gets points while he does yep. it. And so that's huge. Like Russ Smith gets to the line. He gets yep. the line. And this guy has been to the line almost triple the amount that Russ gets to the line.
Yeah.
So that is something to definitely be concerned with, especially with if you're going to try to play Montrezl Harrell on him. So you can't yeah. do it early. You got to play Mango Mathiang.
Yeah.
You have to have Steven Van Treese. And you have to have a lot of minutes out of those guys, especially yeah. early. And you got to try to get him into foul trouble as well. Now, Julius Randle hasn't been in any foul trouble yeah. really this year. But I think it's something you have to try to do. If he's going to foul out all your guys, you got to try to foul him yeah. out.
Well, so. Russ has, you know, made a living off running into guys, you know, doing the crazy shots, running in the lane, bouncing off the body, making the and one.
Right.
And he's gotten Anthony Davis in foul trouble before in the past. Now, Randall's like a brick wall compared to the stick man Anthony Davis at his point in college. So I don't know if that'll kind of work the same. But I am thinking that we're probably going to need more of the guards to get their bigs in foul trouble than the actual bigs themselves.
Sure, sure.
So hopefully that is something we can take advantage of because their guards don't know how to play defense yet. They are long, but our guards are fast, and they know how to take advantage of a defensive weakness. I think our team is playing really well right now. We're clicking. It looks like we're playing well. Now, I know we're playing weak teams, but that doesn't mean anything. You can play against a weak team and not look in sync. We look in sync right now.
Right.
And I think we're playing good basketball. I think the big concern for me is going to be the foul trouble to our bigs. And I think once that happens, we're going to be doing a major uphill battle because they're going to go Randle against our number two or three option down low is guaranteed buckets.
Right. I mean, you know, Mango Mathiang he's made huge improvements. You know, he's going to be serviceable at best against Julius Randle. You're going to have to beat them on help side defense, and not just Randle. You can't send these guys to the line. Like, Kentucky makes a living at the line. Aaron Harrison, James Young, and Andrew Harrison, all four of those guys together, all those guys have more free throw attempts than the highest free throw attempt person for the University of Louisville. All four of those guys by a lot. And so Kentucky's main goal is to get to the line. They want to go in there. They want to drive to the basket. They're going to challenge you at the rim because they're going to say, well, they're not going to call a charge. You're going to either have to block our shot or we're going to go to the free throw line. And that's what you have to do. So you got to make them make twos. Don't foul out. And, you know, maybe they'll foul out. Maybe you'll get a charge. Maybe they'll miss their layups. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get beat off the bounce and deny the ball into the paint. I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, personally. Yeah,
once people start have to step out of what they were doing originally on defense to help you out, all sorts of things break down at that point.
Sure.
And that causes fouls. That causes wide-open layups. And, you know, this could be a situation. Mango is improving, so I'm not going to discount him in this game. But I will throw this game back to the Josh Harrelson game where Jang steps on a ball and sprains his ankle right before the game.
I can't believe that game.
And then Pitino, and the night before, Rakeem Buckles in practice or something, tears his ACL, and we throw Mike Marr in, which was a very curious decision, at power forward. I know Patino knew that he was smart, but he could have used Van Treese. He didn't. Right. And so what I am thinking doesn't happen, or I'm hoping doesn't happen, is that we get that foul trouble to the big, we get that off out of position person playing down low, we do the double team on Randall, and then Cal does the only play he knows on the interior, which is if they double team you, just pass it to the other guy, and then they just get tons of layups like Harrelson did.
Right.
And that's what I'm worried about.
That could happen. But Julius Randall actually turns the ball over at a pretty high rate. I mean, he's got 40 turnovers on the year. That's a lot.
Is that more than Louisville?
The highest player, the highest player at Louisville's
team. No, I mean just total. Louisville's had such a low turnover rate.
Louisville's
had
110 turnovers on the year. Yeah. The highest person with turnovers is Russ Smith with 29.
Yeah.
And, you know, he handles the ball all the time. Yeah. And he's got 60 assists. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll take it.
Louisville has a very low turnover count compared to past seasons. I mean, decades.
Yeah, it's really good. And we're going to have to find out what the record is for fewest turnovers in a season. Of course, this team may end up playing a lot more games than some other teams.
You can do a per game average.
You can do a per game average or whatever and see what happens. But, like, I think this is a good matchup for Louisville. I think they should win the game. But there is all that unknown of going on the road, going into Rupp Arena. How's the whistle going to be? How hot are you going to be? Are they going to be amped up? Mm-hmm. Are they going to settle down? Will Shane Bohannon let his emotions run high and get the best of him? Because Shane Bohannon and Kevin Ware together really probably have more emotional incentive.
Excitability.
To get into this game than anything. They have more emotional incentive to get in this game than anybody. Russ Smith wants to make it Russ Arena, but he's there to have a show. I mean, he's loose. I feel good about him. Yeah. And then
Luke Wayne, I mean, I do, you know, we won the national championship. I'm not worried about really any of them except
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones has never seen an arena that big.
Terry Rozier.
And hate him.
Right.
And then Terry Rozier has never seen an arena that big and hate him. Now, to be honest, I think Terry Rozier is going to handle it better than Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones will be a baller, but I do think he gets really hyped up. So I think Chris Jones might press a little bit and have a couple mistakes, and I'll have to put him on the bench, calm him down, just say, dude, yes, we want to win, but we don't have, you know, you can't win on one play. You got to, it's a process.
And I'm interested to see what happens after made baskets because I want to see the Harrison twins bring the ball up the floor against Louisville's press. And so if Louisville's making baskets, I want to see if Louisville can frustrate them. Because we've seen, I mean, if you've watched Kentucky at all this year, you know how frustrated those two twins can get if things aren't going their way or if they don't think they're getting the right calls and all this other stuff. There's a dramatic swing in the way that they play with how the whistles are going or if they've turned a ball over stupidly. So
Player of the game for Kentucky.
I think it's got to be Julius Randle.
Always going to be – you always say – you know, you always know who it's going to be, and then the game plays, you're like, what?
Right. Then it's Josh Chichester.
It's the rivalry game, so, you know –
everybody forgets Josh
Chichester. I'll say it's Polson, you know. Right. It's going to be Polson. And for Louisville, it's probably going to be Henderson.
And I'll go Russ. And I'll go Randle. And those would be two really obvious guys. And I hope it's Luke because Luke needs it. Luke needs it big time. And – Luke actually thrives with the booze, you know. Yeah. So this is maybe what he needs. He might need just a negative energy, just so he can start playing and doing all that again. Kind of like
Luke
spent
his entire week growing his beard out.
It looks good. It looked good the other day
when
I saw him.
He needs
a solid,
full heavy beard.
Yeah, not a Duck Dynasty beard.
We need a UConn Cornelius beard.
Yeah,
for your Christmas reference.
So maybe not Duck Dynasty long. Yeah. But Luke Hancock, MOP long, that would be good.
So you rolled Duck Dynasty after all. They're really racist and not racist.
It was a bad week for
negative,
them.
Yeah.
It was a very bad week
for
them.
So you're a Duck Dynasty guy.
No,
you're a supporter.
I really don't know. I can't say that I'm
a supporter. We're not going to get into that.
I don't know if I've ever even seen the show.
No, I haven't seen the show. But no, it's not surprising they said that. If anyone watched the show, they know it's a very conservative, Bible-beating family. So, of course, they're going to have those.
Right.
No one should be surprised if they say things that are in line with that kind of mentality. But But no, I'm excited about this game for sure, and I think it's probably going to be the two stars of the game or who no one thought of.
Be Anton Gill.
It's going to be someone you didn't think of. It's just the kind of game that does that. I think the mental game is in favor of Louisville, but it's at home, so I think that's what's going to help their UK's young guys play a little bit better than they would have otherwise. I think Louisville is going to have more experience, so they're going to be fine. It's just there's a couple of our young guys never seen a big arena. How are they going to shoot in that? And
I'm so excited to watch it from the Citrus Bowl.
We need this game
lot.
Win or lose.
Oh yeah,
we need to have a game where people are punching each other in the mouth. I mean, it's. The Big East trained us for top basketball.
It really did.
And we haven't had any training this year.
And it'd be good if it's a close game. If it's a blowout, if Kentucky blows Louisville out or Louisville blows Kentucky out, I don't think it helps anybody, to be honest. I think you need to have a 7 to 8 point or fewer margin to get into those situational things in a hostile crowd environment where the pressure's on to make your team grow. So I'm excited about it. I'm going to watch it in the Citrus Bowl parking lot with thousands of my other Cardinal friends.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have 45 minutes to get into the stadium, and it's going to be the day of the Cardinal.
Actually, I'm going to change my pick. I think James Young is going to be player of the game for UK, and the reason why is because he is lightning fast, and Wayne Blackshear has foul problems. And then when you step Luke in there, he is twice as slow. Ooh. So I think James Young is going to be a matchup problem. I think the bigs, we'll throw some bodies at Julius Randle. He's going to have Julius Randle numbers. But I don't think he will go above and beyond where he just totally dominates the game. I think he'll just have a great stat line. I think James Young will be Kentucky's X factor for those reasons. And I hope Louisville has an answer for his quickness on the three spot that doesn't land someone on the bench. I think our guards will play well. I think Kentucky's bigs will play well. And then X factor for Kentucky, if they can get some, it's a good day for Kentucky if their guards kind of figure out how to consistently get the ball up without turnovers and play well against Louisville's guards. Louisville's X factor is if they can have an answer to James Young defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like Louisville's interchangeable parts in this game. You know, Chris Jones and Russ Smith can play one or two guard. Rozier can play one or two guard. You got three. You can play Luke and Wayne at the same time. You can play Shane and Montrez at the same time, or you can play him with a center. It doesn't matter. And so the fouls, we don't want to have foul trouble, but if it does happen, you have people.
We have a deeper bench.
Plug it in there. Well, I don't really want to do a foul-a-thon on the road.
Let's go 11 deep against Kentucky.
And,
they don't have it.
But we're going to see what happens. And if it is called tightly out to start and Kentucky gets into foul trouble and Louisville's in foul trouble and they're both into foul trouble together, Louisville has a big advantage. And, especially if it's at the post for Kentucky, that would be huge.
Did anyone research to see if there was a top-rated free throw coach down in Miami? Like Louisville went or wherever they are in Florida. Louisville spent a little extra time there.
I have no idea.
A little extra time down in Florida. I wonder if there's a top free throw shooting coach. And he's like, Trez and Shane, these 40% free throw shooting has got to go. You're going to be with this coach for three straight days, and we're going to get your all's free throws set up before this game.
Well, they were on a boat yesterday, and they're chilling out.
They're at a rap concert.
I think, were they at a rap concert?
I saw on like Gotti or something. I saw I am unguardable on Instagram. Chris Jones was like on stage.
That's awesome. Well, I hope they come back relaxed because that's a good sign. If they come in, because they're actually not even coming into Louisville, from what I understand,
having fun, bonding as a team.
They're gonna go
in. This is all good stuff that's happening.
They're just gonna arrive at Rupp Arena and it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
those people are nuts. We know that.
Yep,
and. They're going to put a lot of pressure, but I think a lot of this pressure is going to be on their own team, on Kentucky's team.
UK just went to the NIT and lost first round. Louisville just won the national title. Their fans are going to be going crazy over trying to get a victory here.
Yep.
And they're probably, you're right, you're probably going to press that on the kids, and the kids are going to be like, oh, crap.
So, and
we don't want to make them upset.
We will see how it plays out. I'm so excited about December 28th. I wish we could split it up into 2 days, but it's kind of fun that it's the same day.
Yeah.
I'm going down to Orlando. I'm leaving day after Christmas, 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to beat Miami. I'm going to watch Louisville beat Kentucky on television. Chris Hatfield will be there for the CrunchZone.com.
Okay, so we've got Mark down at the bowl game, Chris Hatfield in Lexington.
Yeah, and Mike Lindsay at his computer going to make the best video ever in the history of one day, two tie-in sports.
I know you want me to do that video, but I haven't decided if I'm going to do that.
I know.
And here's why.
I know, because it's impossible.
No, actually, it's much easier. All right, so for the folks listening, it is a great idea. Mark wants me to make a video of the whole day of all the awesome highlights of both games. And it would be a very appealing video. We'd probably get a ton of hits. And I agree with him 100%. But I have such appreciation for the seniors of the football team.
Right.
And everything they have accomplished in their 2 years here, that if they win their bowl game, I don't want their memory to go back and watch a little highlight video one day to show to their kids and all this kind of stuff to be mixed in with a regular season basketball game.
I understand.
And then say,
that makes sense.
Hey,
too.
Look, we won a bowl game. Oh yeah, but they had this regular season basketball game. Apparently, it's the same thing.
It's a big deal. It's a big day.
UK and game is a huge rivalry game.
Well, you didn't make a highlight video last year.
I want to honor Miami.
We didn't make a highlight video last year for the Kentucky game because we were all going down to the Sugar Bowl and traveling. And you made You made a highlight video for the football team in addition to a Sugar Bowl hype video before the game. So there's a lot of football heavy activity. So I think we need one in the Crumbs Revenge Library for basketball. But I don't want to put any pressure on you. We have to win both games first, obviously.
Let's see what we win, and then we'll make it maybe we'll let the fans decide.
Maybe we will.
You know?
Yeah.
What
do you want?
I don't know. I still feel like I have to do it for the seniors. It would be Teddy's last game. If Louisville wins the bowl game, how can you deny the football team their bowl victory?
It's
finishing
true.
21 of 24 victories, you know. I mean, just,
you know, I'm a football guy.
Yeah,
I mean, you know how I feel.
I
about
love,
football.
And I'm more basketball than football.
Yeah.
I really am. But I love this football team, and if they win the bowl game over Miami and everything they've done, they deserve not to be mixed in with the regular season basketball game. Is what
all those guys. I mean, from Preston Brown,
Hakeem
Durant, Hakeem Smith, and maybe Calvin Pryor and Teddy Bridgewater, and
it goes on.
Damian Copeland. I mean, we could go
Johnny Unitas
forever. I mean,
Johnny Unitas.
All these kids are going to be
Bear
on this
Bryant.
Team. I'm going to miss them all.
Yep.
So maybe they're going to be on video, but it would be really cool to tie it in.
It
to
would
one
be.
Huge celebration like the Year of the Cardinal video
be.
That we had.
That is the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, I understand. And it's a valid concern.
Because some of the parents, they reach out to me on Twitter.
And
they
like,
say, oh, we watch your games, our videos before the games. Or we really appreciate you do this. Because, you know, they get to enjoy more stuff of their son playing in school.
And they get to see it more.
And I don't know if they'll feel insulted. If it's like, also, this regular season game is just important.
I don't think they'll feel insulted, but I can see, I can see George Durant hanging out in Tampa being like, hey, watch my last game.
It's like,
and be like, oh, yeah, but there's some basketball stuff.
Yeah, Oh, look, there's a little field hockey.
I get it.
There's a little field hockey going on.
I get it.
So I don't know. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll do it. But I think it's a great idea, and I do think 100% the fans will love it.
Okay.
I am thinking more along the players.
Yeah, I
line
understand.
Right now in
and
my head.
A lot of times that's why we make these things, and the fans just happen to like them.
Yeah,
so
we'll figure it out. But we got to win ball games first.
There's
video.
A lot of assumptions going on. We could go 0-2, and that would just be no fun at all. And we could have the longest ride home from Orlando ever.
All right, well let's wrap this up with some program updates.
Program update.
All right, we'll make this pretty quick. We've got a few program updates, and then we're going to wrap up this show, and we are going to get ready for Cardmageddon, Day of the Cardinal,
Day
whatever
the Cardinal.
You want to call it. It's coming. It's Saturday, and apparently Jesus is in the way. Mark has already said that at the
He's
beginning.
He's not in the way.
He's in the
of
way
everything.
Of my
it's
Cardinal
birthday.
Excitement.
And he doesn't even care about his birthday.
I don't know. We'll find out one day when you die, when he shows up and says,
he doesn't care
this
about
one
birthday.
Is going downstairs. That's what he'll say. But baseball team ranked number 8 preseason.
Yep, they're in the top 10. Nick Birdie's pretty much consensus first-team All-American, pretty much every single college baseball list, and there's a plenty of them. I mean, there's just there's so many polls and publications for college baseball, and Nick Birdie's just on the top of them all for closing rules. So he's about to make a lot of money in the Major League Baseball draft, but he's got another season to pitch. And his smaller, younger brother is a freshman
on
this team, so we're going to have a little – double birdies.
That'd be
two
cool.
Two birds. Two birds.
With one stone. They should just have a shirt that they have. It
two
just
birds.
Says one stone. That's it. And they're like, what's that? Why do both of you all have a shirt that says one stone?
Yeah, they just wear it. It's for them.
Okay, so in the $2,000 Year of the Cardinal autographed by all coaches, limited production Maker's Mark, it's really cool. And I just wanted to point out that they have been picking letters. So they allow people to write a letter to say, I mean, what were they saying in the letter? Why they deserve the year of the Cardinal, or what it means to them, or
yeah,
what they
like
did during the year of the Cardinal.
Just kind of an emotional, personal account yeah. of the year of the Cardinal and what it meant to them.
And each coach picks one out and then donates $2,000 to the school, and they get the bottle. So how
cool
is that?
I think it's super cool. I think it's a great idea to kind of promote and give it to the average fan, because
every fan wants it. Who has $2,000?
But yeah, the average fan, the average person's not buying a $2,000 collectible yeah. bourbon bottle.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a part of the collection. It'd be really great to have on my wall, but I'm not going to get one.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
That's okay.
But it was,
Jesus isn't in the way of you buying that bottle?
It is not in the way.
Okay.
But the money is in the way.
All right.
But for me, like, I was there. You were there for the year of the Cardinal.
Pretty amazing year.
I actually, during baseball season, while they were on their College World Series run, I actually started to get a little freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I saw them lose one game. And then they lost the second game to Vanderbilt in the regular season. And then I kind of like took a breath and was like, okay, mm-hmm. Louisville can lose if I'm here. And then so there was this joke with the SIDs with Louisville baseball and everything like that, that, oh, Blankenbaker's here, we're going to win the day.
That's right.
And all this other stuff. And so it was a lot of fun to kind of like see it. But at the same time, I was a little freaked out because yeah. You and I went into a voodoo shop.
Yeah.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
And it kind of all got started right around then. And
it did.
And I got to tell you, like, it's a little freaky.
It went from let's do a little voodoo for Louisville to win this one single football game on January 1.
And it just went.
To, like, 9 months later saying, what the hell just happened?
We
that was awesome.
We still haven't lost a game.
Yeah. So this, and a lot of good basketball, a lot of good football, it, you know. To enjoy, and such a bright future for both programs. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you don't have $2,000, that's fine. Year of the Cardinal, just a little plug, selfless plug. If you want the memories all on one DVD, so you know I make these videos, I have a Year of the Cardinal version that has 10 videos. Just to name a few, you get the Rutgers video of us going to the BCS, the hype video before the Sugar Bowl, the Sugar Bowl game, and the thank you card with a lot of player footage and fan footage. And then there's another one. There's kind of two segments, football section and the basketball section. On the basketball side, you get Duke. You get the the Big East championship tribute of all the Big East championship tournament games, including the comeback of Syracuse. You get the Duke game. You get the championship tribute. You get the comeback with Paul Rogers and Bob Valvano audio over the TV broadcast, and then the Patino Hall of Fame thing that his friend hired me to make while he as a surprise gift for him, which was an incredible honor for me to do. But $20, I'll burn out a copy. You'll get the whole thing. It's about 90 minutes long. So if you want a DVD just to pop in every once in a while and kind of relive in a documentary movie style fashion of last year, that was Year of the Cardinal, we can do that. Just email for details. The letter L, crunchzone@gmail.com, and we'll get you the details. But that's it for the show this week. Mark, have safe travels and keep showing up to these games, because it's important that you're there. So you're going down. So Cardinal football, Mark will be there.
I'll be there. And, you know, Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
Merry Christmas to you.
And I hope it's really good with you and your family. And
thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you again.
Yeah.
And I'll drop off these cameras full of epic footage.
Hopefully with very happy footage there.
Exactly.
And
I'm leaving the day after the bowl game, so you'll be able to have all that. And,
yep.
Man, I'm excited about it. I can't wait. To be honest, I'm like so thrilled, you know, to be going to another Orlando or another Florida bowl game. The last time Louisville played a bowl game in Florida, they brought Charlie Strong brought home Teddy Bridgewater and Eli Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what he's going to do. He's down there recruiting now. They're down there practicing, and we'll see what happens. But Merry Christmas, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. We know not all of our listeners are Catholic or Christian. Happy holidays to you. It's going to be a great day coming up this Saturday. Hopefully you all enjoy your happy holidays and New Year's with some Cardinal victories mixed in. It's the Crunch Zone, and we'll catch you next week.
Go Cards.
Louisville first, Cards forever. I promise to rep the